You're listening to the Higher Ed Marketer, the podcast for marketing professionals in higher education. Join us every week as we talk to the industry's greatest minds in student recruitment, donor relations, marketing trends, new technologies, and much more. If you're looking for conversations centered around where marketing in higher ed is going, this podcast is for you. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to the Higher Ed Marketer Podcast. My name is Troy Singer with my co-host, Bart Kaler, where today we dive into the vital role of authenticity and strategic storytelling in the community college marketing field. We are thrilled to have Patrick Stone with us, who is a seasoned expert in community college marketing, and he has notably revamped strategies at Cape Cod Community College. Bart, today, our conversation with Patrick, I think both of us agree, is one of the more enjoyable and impactful community college conversations we've had in a very long time.
Yeah, Patrick does such a great job. I mean, you can certainly tell that he loves his job and he's passionate about what he does. He really kind of came into the conversation with just a heartfelt goal to really share. And I appreciate that. I mean, he's very thoughtful, very articulate. You can tell that he and his team think things through. And it's a small team. I think he said that there's only like three or four of them on the team with a limited budget like you might have at a small community college. But I love the fact of how he kind of unpacks how he is doing things in a way that are thoughtful, that are impactful, that he's leaning into the resources that he has and how he's doing that to really kind of add a lot of effectiveness and enrollment to their school. So it was such a pleasure to talk with him.
If you've ever uttered the words, "We don't have enough marketing budget," I think to pay attention to Patrick's mindset would be beneficial.
Yeah.
And here's that conversation with Patrick. Patrick comes to us with a rich background in enhancing student outreach through genuine and visually compelling narratives. So, Patrick, if you could, start us off by sharing a recent fun or interesting insight or maybe an experience that has shaped your approach to marketing.
Sure, of course. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. Happy to be here talking with you guys. You know, something that came up within the past couple of weeks in the marketing communications office at Cape Cod Community College has been the importance of how we view neurodivergency in our work, in the way we communicate our messages to prospective students who may be neurodivergent in some capacity, either in a reporting sense where you will be taking advantage of services at the college, but more importantly, those who don't self-identify, people who have, you know, anything from anxiety to ADHD to other impairments that they wouldn't even self-identify. So we've been thinking a lot about that in our work, in the way we visually communicate our designs and our design material to make sure it's readable and we're not overthinking ourselves and overcomplicating our work. And the way we write our onboarding materials. We're in high season now for rewriting our admissions materials and reproducing things. And that's something we're looking at now. You know, we have our how to become a student, that step-by-step checklist. Man, that thing could be, you know, 100 steps long. And you start looking at through the lens of, you know, what does this look like? And how is a student with neurodivergency intaking this? We're starting to think a lot about that and rework the way we're doing those materials.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you. That's an emerging topic. And we really appreciate you bringing it to the forefront here at the beginning of our episode. Now, everyone, we're talking to Patrick Stone. I know him as the marketing dude, but if you could give us your official role at Cape Cod Community College and tell us a little bit about both that role and your school.
Sure. It's self-appointed marketing dude. It wasn't like there was no or anything. And I wasn't appointed.
Well, you really didn't have to explain that, but
the queen didn't
go,
you know,
forth, Patrick.
So I'm the director of strategic communications and marketing for Cape Cod Community College. We're in Massachusetts. One of the 15 community colleges in Massachusetts. My role, I oversee as the title suggests, the marketing communication. So we oversee all the recruitment and retention work related to bringing students into the college and then keeping them there, making sure they continue on their journey towards commencement or transfer or into career paths. We're a small college. We're a small team. It's myself and three other people on my team. I have a social media website manager, John Fonseca. I have a graphic designer, Andrew Nasser. And I have my assistant director, Christine Pauk. And so collectively, we are a small but mighty group that we do everything from advertising to marketing events and promotions happening on campus to everything you need to do to take advantage of academic support services to make sure that students are getting the best out of their experience and that they're able to achieve what they wanted to achieve when they arrive.
Thanks. And you perfectly lead into the first topic that we agreed to discuss, which is strategic budget utilization and authentic student engagement. So you've emphasized the importance of authenticity in your marketing efforts. So could you expand upon how strategic budget management has played a role in fostering genuine student engagement at community colleges?
Sure. If you talk to any marketing communications people at a community college, the first thing they'll say is, we don't have enough money. Right? It's nobody ever has enough budget. It doesn't matter. I'm sure it's the same at four-year institutions. Nobody ever has enough money.
Right.
We think about budgeting and strategic budgeting a lot, and I have for a long time. I was struck by when I first became a marketing director in the community college space, you're all of a sudden, we're communications people. Most of us don't have in-depth budgeting backgrounds. And you kind of pick this stuff up on the fly. And as a young professional, when I got my first marketing director job, I was sort of floored by, look at all this stuff we're spending money on. You know, all of a sudden it's, you know, I always hear about how we don't have any money, but what are we actually spending it on? And you start to pull apart the onion a little bit and you see, oh, actually, there's a lot on here that maybe we can trim, maybe we can re-strategize. A lot of it, we fall into that cycle of communications folks and budget managers where we, you know, we're setting and forgetting from year to year. And I think it just very easily roll over. And it's, well, we spent this amount in fall last year, and so we're going to spend it again. We think right. We will. And I like the idea of reviewing the budget and reviewing what you're spending and try to make every penny count. And every penny does count when we do have small budgets, and we do. So you have to keep that in mind. You know, when I first arrived at Cape Cod, I had in my head, and I think a lot of folks have probably thought about this before, like, what would it actually really look like to build a marketing department in a community college from scratch? And I had that sort of bird in the back of my head for a long time. And I was really fortunate at Cape Cod, we were able to kind of do that as a new person coming in and some different strategic directions for the department. We were able to look at that and start thinking, all right, well, you know, we spent a fair amount of newspaper advertising, you know, over the past, we've done a lot of radio, enrollment's down. What are we doing to make sure enrollment's going up and that we're bringing more leads and inquiries to the front of the college? You know, so we did everything from, you know, reviewing agency work that we had to, you know, peeling back some of the traditional advertising that wasn't really having a great ROI for us. We were able to turn that into, I mentioned my graphic designer, Andrew. We hired Andrew. We were able to pull that back and hire an actual full-time person with no existing budget added. We were able to build a new website by doing the same thing, just reviewing what are we spending money on. And over the course of a couple of years, built a new website. So I think the way you view and comprehend your budget and think about what is it you want to prioritize that year really matters. And it's not, it should not be the same from year to year. From an authenticity standpoint, it allows us to look at what are the actual messages that are going out and what do we need to spend money on? We're in this sort of cool place in higher ed marketing now where authenticity, self-shot on a cell phone, leaning on students to do Instagram takeovers and do your TV spots even for you in some spots, that doesn't cost an awful lot of money.
No.
You know, this is not like it used to be. I remember losing out on a video award years ago when we were doing TV advertising. We had up for an award from the National Council for Marketing and Public Relations, I'm on the board for. And 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it was whoever spent the most money would win that award. Right? It's your $2 million, you know, the Hollywood grade cameras are doing this. Now it's on a cell phone and it's completely done by students. And so that's a budget savings for us. If we think about that, that's the actual effect of messaging now. We do Instagram takeovers at our college or social media advertising, and that doesn't cost an awful lot of money. It allows us to allot that money someplace else while still keeping the message really authentic.
I think you bring up such a good point there, Patrick, on the idea of really looking at your budget every year, because I think that especially with technology and digital and AI and everything else changing so quickly, it's a dangerous place to just say, we're just going to roll over everything and just do the same thing over and over again. And honestly, just hope that it's better this year. And I think that when you really stop and take a hard look at it, and I think your point with the cell phone versus the, you know, professional quality video camera is a good one, because what we all have in our pockets today is better quality than 20 years ago that you could get at the biggest agency in New York City. I mean, it's just the reality of how technology changes, how digital has matured, how a lot of things have evolved. And I think sometimes, especially some of us who might have been in the career a little bit longer, we get kind of used to the fact, well, we did that. We've always done it this way. So we're just going to keep doing it that way. And I think that sometimes is a really dangerous place to be. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of higher ed kind of has that perspective. I mean, is that kind of what you've seen over the course of all the different places that you kind of have a view into?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's always, it's a common thread I've observed in doing this, that no marketing person is ever in higher ed is ever going to self-identify and say, that's what we did last year. We'll just copy and paste and do it this year. It's subconscious, you know, well, we did this last year and enrollment was blank. So why don't we run it again? I have the ads ready. We know what it cost. It's easy. It's easier to do that because we're so stretched thin on time and, again, budget and staffing that it's kind of easy to do that. And it becomes a prioritization piece, I think. I think when you're able to sit back and say, all right, well, let's figure out what worked and what didn't work and what we want to accomplish this year. Even if this stuff worked from last year, there's nothing wrong with copying and pasting if it worked.
Like, sure.
We do that a lot. But it's more, I find it's helpful to look at it and say in the totality, all right, we're in a fortunate spot this year where our enrollment is up and it's up pretty substantially. And so we're able to look at that and say, all right, well, a lot of this is working now. We're seeing a lot of gains on, you know, inquiries and leads and some of our work. And so we want to keep that going, but we know then the message has to change. I can't stay the same. Right. And you have to prioritize that and make the time for it, carve out that space and say, all right, well, you know, always tweak it. It should never be the same thing twice. We always got to keep it moving and keep it fresh.
But yeah, I think keeping it fresh is exactly right. Because I mean, as soon as you start to slow down and start to rest on any laurels or start to just kind of get comfortable with the way things are going, that's usually when things creep up on you and things get really difficult really fast. And so I think that's such a wise type of thing to say. Now, when you look at those budgets, and I want to go back to what you started with, the idea that we never have enough money. And I actually, you know, in the book that I wrote is that the idea of being able to market on a shoestring budget, the idea of really being able to stop looking at the flagships or stop looking at everybody else. I don't know if it's the same at your school, but I hear so many times where either it's the faculty or somebody on the board or somebody else brings up, hey, we seem to be the best kept secret. We just need more billboards or we need more of this. How do you kind of address that? Because I know that every time I bring that up, billboards are kind of like this bane of existence for college and higher ed marketers. Help me understand of how do you kind of address that internally?
It's the best kept secret thing. Well, in the community college space, every board president we've ever had at every community college has said that to a president at some point or other. And then that comes out to the marketing people.
Exactly.
Oh no, I wish they didn't say that. You know, it's funny, where we are in Cape Cod, there actually are no billboards. We don't have outdoor media on Cape Cod. So that's actually a tool we get to very quickly take out of our toolkit and get to save money on that space.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, when we're either having to push back on that, and pushback's kind of harsh because I think we always try to come from a place where we shouldn't expect other people to know what the marketing communications department's doing. We always try to come from a space where if someone brings that up, we could talk about, well, that's actually really, let's talk about some of the strategies we're putting into place to actually solve some of these awareness issues. And awareness is immeasurable, right? When someone says we're the best kept secret, it's like, well, you know, for whom are we a best kept secret? Right. We take a lot of space in talking about our communication strategies. But in our case, sort of loathe the term public relations now, because I think it has a connotation of like old school PR, you know, calling up and, you know, wine and dining the local newspaper reporter. I like to say it's storytelling. And so where do we tell stories in spaces that our students and prospective students are listening and making decisions? That's branding. And I think that's sort of an uncomfortable thing now within the public relations space. Public relations really is brand management, I think, at the end of the day. So we talk about, you know, this is what we do on social media. We've put a ton of thought and strategy into social media to make it effective brand builder, showcase what the college is, who we are, who the people that are going here are, why it's cool, why this is a place you want to be. We don't do ads on it. We don't promote enrollment seasons really on it. We just keep it brand management and that storytelling. And so when we get that best kept secret piece, we are able to say, well, you know, we're making an impact now across all these channels and the effort we're putting into it and doing it right, that 12, 13 year olds who are on TikTok are seeing our stuff. We're not promoting, we're not asking them to do anything. We're promoting ourselves as a cool place. That's going to help them better prioritize us 6-7 years from now when they're ready to make a decision.
Exactly.
And then for our adult students, we're able to say, you know, this is the, look, these are the gains we're making in enrollment for these groups. And this is the type of work we're putting into communicating the stuff they care about. And we always have to remember, like, this is for them. Amen. It's not for us. We're not the target. We'll all say, I'm sure you'd say this all the time.
Preach
we
it.
We are not the target audience. If I wanted to talk to 50-year-old men with doctorates to my community college. I'm sure we can come up with a strategy to do that, but that's not really our primary audience.
No, that's perfect.
And so we have to figure out those channels and then, constantly audit, you know, is it working? Do they like this? Is it making the impact we want it to have for the different audiences that we have?
You bring up storytelling and would love to also talk about the visual communication. If you could, please describe how these elements have transformed the way that you connect with students and the community.
Sure. We, especially early on in our work at 4Cs, and it's certainly been prevalent in the 15 years I've been doing this in community college space. Visual communication is, I think, so important to the work of a higher ed marketing professional and for a department. It's always the first thing to get backburned, I've observed. It's always the first thing to say, well, we're going to outsource it, which sometimes you have to do. We're going to deprioritize it. We're going to templatize it because it's complicated. Graphic design and what you look like is a complicated, time-consuming process, but what you look like matters. Perception is reality. So we put a lot of stake into being thoughtful about the way we design, the way we visually communicate our stories on social media, those, you know, student stories, the happenings going on campus. We want to look as good as we are. And that's a huge climb for community colleges. You know, we aren't, you know, and we're in Massachusetts here. We're up against some of the biggest four-year institutions in the world and most well-known institutions in the world who have who knows how much more money than we
a little bit, right?
And so it could be a struggle to look as good as them, but we know the value of our work. We know how good our students are and how awesome their stories are. And we know how important it is. We have to visually communicate that it looks good. We have to look good. If we don't, you're immediately that easy trope of community college stereotypes could easily be met if you don't prioritize your visual communication.
Yeah.
You'll just easily step into, boy, yeah, they really do look like a community college. But when you step up and you do, you just put effort into it. You know, we put effort into our photography, into our graphic design, into our advertising, because to me, that's not a budget issue. That's a prioritization and strategy issue. You know, Southern New Hampshire University, we love them. They do fabulous work. They, you know, they're phenomenal. They're a gold standard. They're always going to have tens of millions more dollars than us to spend.
Yeah.
But they can't out visually communicate my call.
Exactly.
Prioritize it. We can do that if we just prioritize it, put the effort into it, and make sure we're doing it right. And then it's working for the students that we want to talk to.
I think you make a really good point there. And I just want to tease it out for a second, because I think that too many times, whether it's a community college or whether it's a smaller private, I mean, I think everybody who's dealing with small budgets sometimes faces this where it's good enough. And I think that that idea is to your point, sometimes feeds into the perception of what the institution is. I mean, I've often pushed back on people that I'm working with that, you know, I look at their website and I'm like, you have really got to change this website. And they're like, oh, if they know us, it'll be fine. And I'm like, you're missing out on the opportunity because it's the first impression. As soon as somebody says, oh, I heard about this school, I'm going to go check them out, the first thing they're going to do is check out your website. And if you are saying things like academic quality and all these things, and then you've got 17 typos on the front page, you kind of lose your credibility. And so I think that visual communication, quality, the attention to detail is so critical. And that doesn't take a big budget. That takes thought. It might take some creativity on how to get it. But I really love the fact that you put such a premium on that, because that is what's going to get people to stop and take notice. It's going to stop the scroll. It's going to say, this is different than what I thought. I need to go figure out more about this, because otherwise you're just creating friction and just feeding into the narrative or the stereotype that you might already have.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think one of the big things that happens in our world is because of that good enough attitude that can creep in, I think it's so easy for our institutions and the community colleges to become wallpaper. If all the messages sound and look exactly the same, or they look just the same as they did the year before, they look just like the school down the road. I used to work in radio, so I laugh whenever I hear higher ed radio commercials, because you can tell when someone's really thought about what they want to say and do something unique. And you can tell when someone said, I don't care, just give me 30 seconds. That's the, you know, with, you know, come to our college with 900 convenient programs, all designed for you. You know,
exactly.
Plenty of free parking.
Exactly.
Located across from the McDonald's. You know, it's like, it all kind of that happens. And if you don't because I know it's audio. Like, I kind of consider that visual communication the way you're doing like radio ads and spots like that, because again, it's a perception breaker. It's, are you going to step out and do something different and say something different? Zig when everybody else is zagging. I think that's really important. And take a shot. And, you know, we're also in a world that, again, this is advantageous to us as marketers. We're in a world now where we can take crazy shots on, on messaging and, you know, really throw stuff up against the wall, because if it doesn't work, and sometimes it doesn't, a lot of times it doesn't, we're talking to audiences now where that they're okay with that. It's, it could not work, and then it'll, they'll scroll right past it and we're on to the next thing. And so that's really great. This is a really, it's a good time to be doing this, because we're able to take some big swings. During COVID, we took big swings with our advertising, and we had gains, we had enrollment gains, or at least sustained enrollment through that, because I recall fondly, because we were really struggling with our messaging strategy when COVID first hit, and we observed a lot of our, call them competitor colleges, but we saw a lot of colleges doing sort of emotional based, you know, we're here for you and this is so trying, and you know, when you're ready, we're ready. And we stopped for a little bit. We took about a 3-month pause of what we usually would be doing for public messaging, and thought about what we wanted to do next. And what we settled on was, let's do the opposite of that. Let's take our model. If you look about on our YouTube channel, you'll find our ads, but we said, what's like the opposite of that? It's like a Ford F-150 ad, you know, with like Dennis Leary as the voiceover. Yeah. Hey, pal, you know, you should come in with a, well, that's kind of a cool idea. What if we, that's a real zig when everybody else is doing that. If we take sort of a, hey, you know, boots on the ground, the online classes are here, now's the time, take sort of a more aggressive, I guess you could say, stand for messaging. And it worked. We did see that. We saw positive response to that. And I think stuff like that matters, where you can, you know, and if it didn't work, and it, thankfully it did, if it didn't work, we'd be able to say, all right, well, and that was a good idea, I thought. And so we're on to the next thing.
Yeah, I think that that's that experimentation, that attitude of experimentation, whether it's in your storytelling, whether it's in your visual communications, or all those things are going to play into those different ways of doing enrollment marketing. Now, one thing I wanted to tease out a little bit is, as you're using this visual communications, as you're using storytelling, you know, one of the things that we always talk about that is kind of like that albatross sometimes for community colleges is the retention idea. So how are you kind of leveraging these tools and these ways of doing your marketing to kind of enhance student retention?
That's a great question. I mean, especially at the community college space, we retention is always the number one issue, because we're dealing largely overwhelmingly part-time students, students who are, you know, multiple jobs, families. Our average age student at the community college continues to be around 27, 28 years old. In fact, in Massachusetts now, where we have a Mass Reconnect, which is a free college program for 25 and older, those students average around 37 years old. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with a different type of student with different life expectations. I think we're never going to have a total grasp on, you know, we can't solve your busy life. But what we can do is we can try to make it easier, and we can try to make you feel better about being here. So we put a lot of stock. Again, social media is a big brand piece for us. We've been able to leverage it, particularly Instagram is a really popular channel for us. And we're able to showcase the life that's happening. We're able to showcase the things that are going on. When we get to those academic support services, because we are thoughtful about what we're not putting on social media, when we do put something on, you know, say, you know, we're heading into final season right now. This is, I don't know if this is just us, but the March and April are the two busiest months of the year.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's burning their grant money, and everybody has the most important event you've ever heard of. And so how do you communicate all that to students? And I think, you know, some of it's a little bit of, you know, practicality. Not every event that goes out is going to be, or not all events are created equal, as my team likes to tell me. And so we're able to see a little bit more success because of the stuff we're not doing on social media. So when we come out and say, hey, final season is coming, make sure you're going to the library, get your academic advising appointment, make sure you're going to tutoring, make sure you're checking out the math center. That carries a little bit more weight, because we've built trust and equity in those channels and the way we communicate. We have good tools. You know, our retention folks have really good tools that work. You know, we can text students, which has been effective. Our faculty at Cape Cod are incredible. They're engaged in the retention work really now more than ever, and they always have been. But I mean, we're seeing big gains because our faculty members are engaged, and the faculty members are good with the technology that we're using, which has been helpful. You know, there's not a whole lot of conflict back and forth on that. So, you know, it's always an uphill climb, because you can't totally solve a reason why a student might not be able to continue anymore. But we do always, even those students that do stop out, if they have to stop, we keep them in our advertising plans. We always do a re-enrollment campaign where we do do advertising. So, well, then I'll turn my advertising over on social media. We'll do advertising to say, hey, if you're ready to come back, we're ready to have you back.
Yeah.
And these are the things that are available to you now if something's changed.
I like that. A couple of things I want to point out there just to make sure everybody heard you on that. One, you are doing specific social media campaigns toward just the students who need to hear it. And so you've figured out, okay, we got a stop out campaign. These are the students who didn't re-enroll. I have a list of that that I can export out of my CRM and just, and go, or SIS, and go and just focus on those people. I think that's really important for people to understand that you're not just blanketing and saying, hey, everybody who's in, you know, a 30-mile radius of college in Southeast Massachusetts, we're going to hit them. No, you're actually saying these are the people who need to hear that. So I love that, because that is a really focused mission fit type of approach. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is that you mentioned, you know, getting the faculty engaged. And I think that's a group of people that are on campus that obviously, that often marketers overlook the power that that can be. I used to have a Tim Fuller and I did a lot of work together, and he used to joke about the fact that you've got your superstar faculty that you want to get in front of students, and then you've got kind of the ones that you want to keep in the closet and not have them come out. You have to identify who are those right fit, because every college, everybody's laughing because they know exactly what I'm talking about. But you've got to understand, who is it that you can place on a campus tour or during a visit day that if they come across students and the families talk to them, man, that's a game changer. And I think that that's so wise that you are engaging the faculty on that.
Patrick, would love to know of some of the strategies that you referred to earlier. What useful methods have you found to help measure the effectiveness of those strategies?
Well, not every method has a measurable, which is the sad part. You know, I would say, no, first and foremost, we look at our when we're doing advertising, again, largely on social media, where we know we can really dive in, we can see our Google Analytics and things. We really go up to our eyeballs with the data. We A/B test our digital ads before we go full throw on any campaign. We want to make sure that we're putting out the best possible product. So it takes a little time. It takes a little patience when we do that stuff, but we do it. You know, Bart, to your point about the segmenting, we try to segment our audiences as fine as we possibly can.
Yeah,
because we know we can. On the re-enrollment side, where our big three audiences when it comes to an advertising standpoint are new students, re-enrolled students, and transfer students. That's our big three. And so we know we can find those folks, and we try to give them really specific messages. So we're looking for click-throughs to the website. We're looking for impressions, obviously. We're looking for, and ultimately what we're turning then to is we work so closely with our enrollment area and our admissions department on a day-to-day basis when we start getting into the full throw recruitment season to say, what's working? All right. So we have, you know, six different ads out there. For three of them are for individual programs. Three of them are those big three pillars. How are we doing? Are we getting inquiries in? Are we getting leads in? We track our inquiries that are coming in through the website. Are they good inquiries? Are we getting positive leads? You know, are these leads that are actually turning into enrolled students? We try to keep tabs on that. But the more broad stuff, the messaging piece, we just talk to students all the time. I mean, that's sort of the secret sauce for us, is especially as we're building that brand and building the story and those day-to-day communications, those day-to-day strategies we put into place. We talk to students. We, you know, not even focus group. You know, if I run into a student and there's no such thing as an uninteresting community college student story. Everybody that walks through the front door is worthy of a front page website profile. And we always ask, you know, Is this working for you? You know, do you follow us on Instagram? Oh, you do? Cool. Do you like the stuff that we're putting out there? Do you follow us on TikTok? Do you like that stuff? Does it work for you? Oh, yeah. I share it with my friends. Or no, you did a thing and I scrolled past, or I unfollowed you for that reason. We learn from that. And moreover, it paints a picture. We always have a clear picture of who our students are, so that when someone does come to us with a request that maybe if we didn't know our students so well, we would have said, sure, we can try that. Because sure, if we don't know our students, we might try something that would be ineffective. But because we know our students really well, when those requests come in, we're a little bit more attuned to say, hey, actually, your audience for that is enrolled students, but what you're not considering is this time of year, it's high season for midterms, or they have other things going on, or, you know, in the end of the month and, you know, rent is due and you're asking them to pay for an event to come on campus, like stuff like that, where because we know who they are, it's a little extra ammunition for us to come up with different strategies to try to make whatever it is we're marketing and promoting work.
That's great. And I love the fact that you're soliciting that feedback, even just the very simple, just the exercise and the discipline of asking your students. I remember Mary Barr was on the podcast, you know, probably a year or two ago, and she was talking about how every orientation, first week of school, she will grab 25 of the new students and just sit them down and say, what was the message that made you come here? What? And just, I mean, it doesn't take that. People talk about, oh, I got to do research and I got to hire firms to do focus groups. No, you don't. It's just a matter of taking the time to go and ask those questions. And so I love the fact that you're doing that and that's helping you do this continuous improvement with your marketing. I think that's hats off to that, Patrick. And I think that that's what helps you become the marketing dude. So I like that a lot. And so, but let's talk a little bit about what are some of the future plans and ways that you're going to continue to innovate. I mean, we talk a lot about innovation and new ideas. And so what's going on at CCC for you guys to be able to innovate and kind of stay ahead of everything?
Right now, we are in the throes of redeveloping our sort of flagship messaging campaign. One of my favorite parts of this job is when you realize you're wrong or when you realize something has expired and it's time to do something new. I love that because it's, you know, it's like a creative energizer. We had a messaging campaign that's been in place for a couple of years, sort of playing on the tourism back a piece of Cape Cod, where we're, you know, a destination college. We have destination programs. We have a lot of flagship programs you can't find anyplace else. We're kind of leaning into this destination idea for our messaging. I happened to be at a conference recently through NCMPR, and we had a keynote speaker that was there. And she said, and I was sitting next to my digital marketing person, and she said, for your students, you're not a destination for them. You're a part of their journey. And we looked at each other. I was like, now we need a new campaign. It's so true. And, you know, really, it does play out in the messaging, but you start thinking about, oh, I think there's something new here. I think there's something to tap into. So we are in the throes now of building our fall advertising, our public messaging campaign. So we're redoing all of our materials. We have to rewrite everything. We had a great meeting with our enrollment team last week where we reviewed everything. And so now we have to come up with what it's going to sound like, what it's going to look like. We you know, look across the country at different spots. We try to take inspiration from other schools and other businesses. Doesn't have to be higher ed, and try to learn from them. And you know, we're trying to build a campaign right now that's really steeped in empathy, I think, more than anything else, that we're a stop for you. We're hopefully a positive stop for you, but we want your time here to be awesome and productive. And then we're going to get you on to the next chapter. You know, we're just a chapter in the exciting book that is you, our student. And so that's where we're developing right now, and will be awesome. Probably definitely the rest of the spring, and definitely through the summer.
That's awesome. That's nice work.
As we wrap up, Patrick, could you share a tip or a piece of advice that schools could immediately implement to enhance their marketing efforts?
One tip I always give people, especially there's a lot of new, young, diverse people coming into this job that we love. And at the conference I was just at, we had 300 something members that were there. 100 of them were new people. And you look at them and it makes sense, right? This profession isn't that old. So we're seeing a lot of people who are retiring, moving on to new things. And then younger people are coming in. I always tell those colleagues, look at your work that you're doing on a day-to-day basis and try not to templatize your work. Sometimes you have to. We do this too. Sometimes you have to make templates for things that are going on. We do them for our workforce area. It's totally appropriate. We do templates. But I see it a lot where people try to figure out a way to fast track the projects instead of making sure the projects are working. And there's a time and place for it, but I see it a lot where it's fill out the intake form, we'll contact you, we'll give you the template, you do it. And those little things add up. Those little things add up from a student experience. I think you have to picture yourself within the realm of, we're part of the student success experience. And so while there's a lot of little things, we have to at least try to work with our clients that we work with college and make sure that the things they're doing work well, or if they're not well thought out events, maybe that happens a lot, that we work with them and say, well, maybe this event can be shifted in a different direction so that it's a little bit more purposeful for the students. And then we market that because we're at least giving the students the best possible product and we're giving them the best opportunity to engage with it. So my tip is meet with your clients, sit with them and talk about your work. Explain to them your channels, explain your perception of the students, explain that this is not going to be the fastest possible project you can get out because you want it to be the most thoughtful project you can get out. And that you will, I think, you know, prioritize quality over quantity more than anything else. And so I think when you start to do that, and you, first of all, you build relationships with your colleagues at the college, you start to understand their perspective And then you're less frustrated with them when they come to you with a silly project and they understand you. And then you get a chance to actually explain your work to them and, you know, break any perceptions that they might have. And I think ultimately that leads to a higher quality marketing product that gives the students the best chance to actually engage in stuff that really could set them up for more success.
That's great.
Thank you, Patrick. And again, everyone, that is the marketing dude, Patrick Stone, Director of Strategic Communications and Marketing at Cape Cod Community College. He is also the vice president, and I believe the president-elect of the National Council for Marketing and Public Relations. We appreciate everything you brought to the episode today. And if someone would like to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to do so?
Shoot me an email, find me on LinkedIn. My email is pstone@capecod.edu. Find me on LinkedIn. I have a big, bright yellow sweater on my thing. I'm wearing a hat. I'm bald. You can see that. I'm bald head. Yeah, drop me a DM on LinkedIn. Shoot me an email. I love talking about this stuff. So I really appreciate it for the invite to join you guys today.
Your passion shows. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thanks, guys.
Bart, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm just very grateful for Patrick being on the show today. It's been a pleasure kind of getting to know him through not only today's episode, but kind of the prior pre-recordings that we do. And so I just wanted to kind of point out a couple of things. One thing that I really am struck with Patrick and the approach that he has is just how thoughtful he is on going toward it. I mean, whether you're looking at not taking for granted your marketing budget, being able to look at things fresh, being able to not assume that you're just going to repeat things and kind of avoiding that temptation to template everything. I really like that. And I like the fact that not only is he thoughtful in the way he's approaching marketing, but also in the way he's approaching the relationships, not only with prospective students, but getting to know those students and segmenting and understanding them. I really like the three different buckets of how they're advertising, and they've actually thought that through, as well as just the idea of that last thing of just being able to, you know, sit down with the people that are asking, your stakeholders that are looking for your help from a marketing standpoint, and build the relationships, build the trust, start providing them. I mean, you don't have to act like the teacher and they're the student, but start educating them so that they've got some marketing literacy so that they feel empowered to be able to do things as opposed to just assuming that, you know, this is my lane, that's your lane. So I really, really appreciate the conversation that we had today. I just think there's a lot of really great nuggets in there. Even one of the things that you said really fast in passing that I wanted to pull back out, and somebody can go and rewind it if they want to, you know, catch where it was. But you said that you guys look at a lot of other materials from other schools, and you quickly said, and from outside of higher ed. I think a lot of people miss that opportunity. And that's something that I've, being in my background, being corporate and some of the other places that I've been, I've always said, why should I reinvent the wheel if I can look at what Target or Red Bull or whoever's going after the same audience that I'm going after? Yeah, I don't have their budgets, but man, if I can learn something to say, why are they doing what they're doing and how can I re-engineer that for my school? I think that's a really inexpensive way to kind of do that. And I love the fact that you brought that up. So I just wanted to kind of expand on that a little bit. Once again, thanks so much, Patrick. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
And to our audience, thank you for tuning into the Higher Ed Marketer podcast, brought to you with pride by Kaler Solutions, your specialist in educational marketing and branding, and by Ring Digital, the experts in ad targeting, known for significantly improving response and yield by accurately targeting ads to the devices of the individuals on your enrollment and fundraising mailing lists. On behalf of Bart, myself, Troy, and Patrick, the marketing dude, thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to the Higher Ed Marketer. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. The Higher Ed Marketer is a production of Kaler Solutions and Ring Digital in partnership with Westport Studios. Views and opinions expressed by guests on the Higher Ed Marketer are their own and may not reflect the views and opinions of their organization. Know someone who's a mover and a shaker in higher ed marketing? Visit www.higheredmarketerpodcast.com and click on our Contact Us page. We'd love to have you tell us about them. Until next time.